Good evening and welcome to the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church in New York City, committed to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in an atmosphere of love. We seek to glorify God by leading people to salvation in Christ and encouraging believers towards spiritual growth by relating the Bible to their daily lives. Please stay with us for the next 60 minutes as Pastor Matthew Recker opens the Word of God so you could be encouraged to follow in the heritage of faith.
And in John chapter 10, verses 22 to the end of the chapter, is Jesus at the Feast of Dedication, which we call Hanukkah. Hanukkah means that very thing, dedication. We could talk about that a bit, but this evening, we want to focus in on what Jesus said at this Feast of Dedication in John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Literally harpoon them, harpazo them, snatch them violently. For we are in a spiritual battle. No one is able to harpoon us from the Father's hand or from the hand of Jesus. And then Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. For he had been in the Feast of Tabernacles from John chapter 7 through John chapter 8. And in the midst of that feast, in John 8:59, they took up stones to cast at him for blasphemy. Because he, being a man, said he was eternal before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 8, verse 58 and 59, they took up stones. And here he says, I and my Father are one. And they take up stones again to stone him. They understood who he claimed to be. Just before this, when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, in verse number 24, they said, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe not. Every time he told them plainly, they took up stones to cast at him. They didn't believe. They just wanted to kill him. That's why they said, tell us plainly. Well, Jesus said, he gives eternal life. And no one will pluck us out of his hand. So I want to speak tonight on this matter of our security as the Savior's sheep. We are secure in the hand of Jesus and in the hand of our loving Heavenly Father. Being in the hands of Jesus settles our security. And because of where we are, in Christ, in his hands, safe, secure, with eternal life, we ought to dedicate ourselves to God because of this security. Give yourself wholly and fully to him who gave himself for us. One of the common questions I get from people often is, well, when we believe in Jesus Christ, do we have eternal security? Can we know for certain that we're saved? Can a believer lose his salvation? That is a common question. I've been asked it on this Heritage of Faith radio program. I receive it in the lobby of our church. I receive it out on the streets if we're witnessing. Do you believe that you can lose your salvation? It's a common question. Why? Because some denominations, especially Pentecostal-type theology, teaches you can lose your salvation, and then you can be saved again and again and again. Well, I certainly don't believe that. I believe in the eternal security of the saved. One of the first places I often turn to when people ask me this question, once we believe in Christ and we're truly born again, Can we be sure of that? Do we have eternal security? Can we have assurance of salvation? One of the first places I love to turn is in this passage of John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, where Jesus clearly states that God's people have double protection. We're in the hand of Jesus and in the hands of the Father. And we can have peace that we're in Him. We can have peace that we're truly saved and His child, and we'll never be cast out of His home, of His family. We'll never lose our salvation. No matter how you may feel, whatever past abuse you've endured, whatever neglect you may feel, whatever present struggles that you're going through, whatever you went through yesterday, whatever you're going through today, whatever you might go through tomorrow, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Because of the Word of God, because of His grace, because of His power, we can be certain of eternal security. So, if you have questions about this or would like to comment about it, our phone lines are open, 1-800-345-9622. Pastor Carmine is here to receive your calls tonight, to pray with you. If you are doubting, wondering whether you have eternal life, maybe you feel you were saved, but oh no, have you lost your salvation? Well, not if you were truly saved. I believe, on the other hand, many falsely profess Christ. They hear God's word. They, like the seed on the stony ground, receive that word with joy. But then when trials, tribulations come, they wither away because there was no real root in them. They were not truly saved. Make sure you're truly saved. Now, what two marks should characterize a true believer, one who's truly saved? Jesus tells us in this passage. What two comforting promises does Jesus give to every one of His sheep? This passage tells us that, and we'll look at it. Is it possible, because we don't lose our salvation, does that mean that a Christian never sins? Well, what do you think? We can talk about that. Let me ask you this. As I've mentioned, eternal security and having the assurance of salvation, does knowing I'm saved encourage greater holiness in my life or less? Does having assurance of salvation discourage holiness? In other words, cause someone to say, "Well, now that I'm saved and I know I can't be lost, I can do what I want." Does it lead a true sheep to think along that line? What does the magnificent truth of being in the hands of Jesus and the Father do for your soul? So we can talk about that. 1-800-345-9622, that is the number. Pastor Carmine is here. If you have questions about your salvation, if you'd like to talk about this great Bible teaching of eternal security, if you have verses that you think might contradict or conflict with this truth, and it bothers your mind or disturbs your spirit, and you'd like to ask questions, feel free to give us a call. 1-800-345-9622. We're here on the Heritage of Faith Live tonight to encourage you, to pray with you, to lift up your burdens, to answer your questions, and to share the Lord Jesus Christ and His powerful, eternal word with you tonight. So let's look at this evening. In John chapter 10, as I mentioned earlier, it says in verse 22, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter." So from verse 21 is the end of a long narrative of Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a fall feast. And now we move to what is known as the Feast of Dedication or Hanukkah, sometime around in our December. What was the point and what was the purpose of this Feast of Dedication? Well, without getting into all the specifics, the story of Hanukkah is a story of great victory. It's the story of the preservation of truth, of the true worship of God in spite of great pressure. As Antiochus Epiphanes, that type of Antichrist, persecuted the people of God during the intertestamental period of time, about 175 BC. Anyone who was found with the word of God was put to death. Women who circumcised their children were put to death. The temple of Jerusalem was looted. Judaism was outlawed. Antiochus offered pig flesh on the holy altar, burned the books of the law, put to death those who sought to keep the word of God in their possession. There were battles. And Judas Maccabees, the hammerer, defeated finally Antiochus in 185 BC. The temple was rededicated, and that's why Hanukkah is called a feast of dedication. The temple was taken back. It was restored. It was rededicated. That's the whole point of the Hanukkah story. You see, the devil constantly fights against God, his plan, and his redeemed people. As Antiochus sought to destroy the temple, the word of God, the worship of the true and living God, the people of God, so the devil always fights. But he cannot overcome. And just as the Jewish people were in the hands of God to protect them, the people of Israel are inscribed in the palms of his hand, and as long as there is a sun in the sky and the moon and the stars shine in the evening light, there will never cease to be the nation of Israel upon the earth. Israel is, in a sense, a nation secure in the hand of God. Not that every Israelite, I'm not saying every Jewish person today is saved, obviously not. But national Israel will be preserved. But truly, God's people, we are safe in the hands of Jesus, our good shepherd. So whereas this passage in John chapter 10, verses 22 and following, are at a different time than the first part of John chapter 10, the first part of John chapter 10, verse 1 through 21, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now in verse 22 to the end is the Feast of Hanukkah, or dedication. Yet there's a similarity as Jesus is speaking of his people as his sheep. He says, for example, in John chapter 10, 26, "You believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And this reminds us, going back to John chapter 10, "To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice." And that's very interesting that Jesus would combine similar teaching at these two times, but maybe it was to connect the Feast of Tabernacles to the Feast of Dedication. Because really, once the temple was restored, the Hanukkah celebration was to do the Feast of Tabernacles, because they weren't able to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall, so they kept it in December. That's why each of these feasts is an 8-day feast. So there's a similarity between the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Dedication. But let's get to the text. We are safe and secure. Our security is settled in the hands of Jesus. Why? Because of two definite marks. Verse number 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." What are the two marks? There is an earmark, and there is a footmark. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." The earmark, we hear when he speaks. The true child of God hears the voice of Jesus. We hear his commands. We take his counsel. We embrace his compassion through the word of God. "My sheep hear my voice." We continuously have a heart to hear the voice of God speak to us through the word of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing that as the people of God, though we have never heard the actual voice of Jesus, but it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, we have learned Christ. And it says, and if so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We may have never heard the actual audible voice of Jesus, but when we have read the Bible, we have heard him speak. We have heard him, and we have been taught by him, and we have heard and been taught the truth that is in Jesus. The Bible is a book that touches the heart, illumines the mind, refreshes the spirit, and speaks with the very voice of God. Jesus said in John 5, verse 25, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Have you heard his word? He that hears my word. Have you heard his word? And believes on him that sent me. Have you believed that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? You have everlasting life. Marvel not at this. Jesus said, the hour is coming into which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, some to the resurrection of life and others to the resurrection of damnation. Hear his voice now. For if you die and you go to a grave without Christ, you will hear his voice even then. Think of it. You will hear his voice and you will come forth and you will stand before him at the great white throne judgment. If you're not saved, if you die without salvation, I'm talking about, if you die without Christ, without salvation, you will be buried, or your spirit will separate from your body, but your body will live again. And don't marvel at that. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, some to the resurrection of life, others to the resurrection of damnation. Which will it be for you? Hear his voice now. Hear his voice now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hear his voice now. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set us free. Are you sure you're born again? Ye must be born again. What does that mean? That means that you're dead without Christ. For he is life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? You have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Those are the two kinds of people in the world. Peter said it this way when the great apostle preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Repent. That is, change your mind. Intellectually, repent. Change your mind as far as what you agree with. And in your spirit and in your emotions, affirm the person of Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, God manifest in the flesh. Affirm that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, because we deserve to die and suffer the penalty of our sins, which is death in hell. Affirm that Jesus Christ was buried actually and bodily, and then on the third day, he rose again, never more to die. And he ascended to the Father's right hand, and he's there right now, seated. The work is finished, and he lives to make intercession for you, to hear your prayers, for you to believe in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The moment you believe from your heart, that is, you intellectually understand who Jesus is and what he did, you emotionally affirm and agree, you have affection toward who Jesus is and what he did, and then you turn, you repent, you change your mind, and you trust and you depend. You repent and you depend. You repent and you believe. And Jesus, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Have you heard his voice? Get to us right now. If God is speaking to your heart, because there's so many voices in the world, there's so many voices in our city, and so many are listening to strange voices, but do not let anything drown out the voice of the Lord. The Lord's voice cries. I mean, right now as I speak, there's a big basketball game, and I like basketball, and there's this playing and that playing, and there's music on, and there's this, and there's noise everywhere. But some of you for some reason, are listening to my voice right now. Are you saved? The Lord's voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. A man of wisdom will put God's name in his sight. The Lord's voice cries, and a wise man sees. That is, he hears, he believes. So, come to Christ. So, we're saying the two definite marks of a true sheep of Jesus. The first mark is the ear mark. My sheep hear my voice. The second mark is the foot mark. Notice the foot mark. John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That again is a present tense, continuous action. A true sheep will be following Jesus. That's their direction. They have a new direction. No longer are they in darkness. They're following the light of the Lord. No longer are they captive to Satan to do his will, but they follow Jesus. They're set free from their sin. No longer slaves to sin. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But you've heard the voice of Jesus. You've been set free to follow Jesus. We're not harshly driven by our loving shepherd, but we're gently led. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is, I don't need anyone else when I have him. We follow him by faith, trusting in his goodness. We follow him no matter our failures, no matter what our future, no matter our friends, what they say, no matter our family. We follow him because he knoweth the way that I take. We follow him because he knows the right way for us. He's a good shepherd, and we're his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What did the disciples do when they heard the voice of Jesus? He said, follow me, in Matthew chapter 4, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, those disciples heard the voice of Jesus, knew he was the good, the great, the chief shepherd, and followed him. Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, Jesus said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. So I say to you, Jesus is saying to you tonight, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. No matter your failures of the past, no matter what your future will be, no matter what your friends or family will say, Jesus says, follow me. And his sheep hear his voice and say, surely goodness and mercy, as I follow him, as I follow Jesus, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why you should always follow him. Follow him, friends, because no one knows you like Jesus. One of the great incentives to follow Jesus is we have his peace because he knows us and he loves us anyway. He knows you. He knows your sicknesses. He knows your thoughts. He knows your temptations. He knows your weaknesses. He knows all your sins. He knows your trials. He knows your struggles. But yet he speaks to us with tender voice. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. He will make us a fisher of men. He will strengthen us. He will lead us. He will direct us. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's given his life for the sheep. He's risen again for the sheep. He's coming again for us, his sheep. Follow him. So those are the two marks of a true sheep. The ear mark, my sheep hear my voice. And the foot mark, they follow me. Question, are you a sheep? 1-800-345-9622. My name is Matthew Recker, and I'm the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in the heart of Manhattan, New York City. We have a wonderful church family. beautiful people who love Jesus. Today's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Follow Jesus, dads. Hear his voice, dads. This message is for you. Be secure and settle your salvation. Dedicate yourself to the Lord and know that he's your child. Know that he's your child. Well, happy Father's Day, dads. I pray that God will truly encourage you, strengthen you for this day and the years ahead. Continue to love your wife. It's the best gift you can give your child is to love God, love your wife. It's the best gift a father can give to his children. And love your wives as Christ loved the church. Do not be bitter against them. Do not allow bitterness to get into your marriage, to destroy your marriage, to take away the love and bring about resentment, revenge, anger, hostility, and continuous conflict. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. How can you do that? By loving Jesus and know that Jesus loves you and let the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, and peace in your life. Well, are you sure you're saved? You say, well, I don't think anybody can really know that, or I think when once you're saved, you can lose your salvation. I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love for you to call and give me your reason why you believe someone can lose their salvation. Share a verse with me if you think you have one, why you think someone can lose their salvation, and we'll talk about it. So, our security is in Christ because we have these two definite marks, the earmark and the footmark. Number two, we have two mighty promises, two comforting promises. The first is the gift of eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. That's verse 28. And the second is the gift of eternal security, and they shall never perish. So, because of these two comforting promises, which emphasize security, I say, my security is settled. And because my security is settled in Jesus, I want to fully dedicate myself to Him. I want to experience true dedication, true Hanukkah, through the power of Jesus. And that He is the one who is true Hanukkah, true dedication for us. Two mighty promises, the gift of eternal life. This is the greatest of all gifts, eternal life. I give to them eternal life. That is, He presently gives to us eternal life now. Not momentary life. Jesus says, I give to them eternal life. So if Jesus gives eternal life, how can you receive eternal life and be lost? Then it wouldn't be eternal life. It would be temporary. Jesus gives eternal life. Once you receive Jesus, you receive life. Eternal. I give to them eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus says, I give unto them. What does that mean? It's a gift. The gift, Paul says, of God is eternal life. Jesus says, I give. That means it's undeserved. That means we can't work for it. Don't even try to work for it. You can't pay for it. You don't give your money to buy life. You don't go to church. You don't get baptized. You don't keep the Lord's Supper in order to do rituals or works or religious actions. In order to merit eternal life. Because Jesus says, I give to them eternal life. Period. Paul said it in Romans chapter 6. You know the verse, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Period. I often like to ask people, eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord and what else? Kind of a trick question. Because the answer is nothing else and no one else. Jesus Christ, our Lord, and no one else, period. Jesus Christ, our Lord, and nothing else, period. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, is all-sufficient.
We're complete in him.
Because he is God, because he did the work to save us, he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again, and that is what needs to be done to pay my sin debt. His death paid the debt that he did not owe, that I owe. He died the debt he didn't deserve for me and for you as our substitute. Christ died for us. Eternal life is a gift. It's like a garment given to us, and we don't add one thread, not one stitch of our work is added to God's beautiful garment of salvation. I give to them eternal life, and he clothes us in the robes of righteousness. We don't deserve it. It's grace. That's what grace is. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is Jesus Christ dying on the cross when I deserve to die. Grace is, if you will, the medicine that saves the sick soul. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross is grace. The power of the Holy Spirit through the resurrection whom we receive is grace. For by grace are you saved. You are saved once and for all. That verse says, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. That's the past tense. In other words, you can know you're saved. And once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, I am saved. And I have eternal life. Right now. Eternal life is not something you receive when you die. Eternal life is the person you receive when you believe. Eternal life is undeserved. It's unearned. If we could earn eternal life, it would be a wage. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we could merit eternal life, it would be like a reward. Like, let's say somebody competes for a prize and they enter a contest and they win the contest. So they get an award, but they worked for it. An athlete works for the championship. An actor works for the Grammy Award. A singer works for whatever award. They work for it, and they receive an award through their effort. But eternal life is a gift. It's undeserved. It's unearned. Jesus Christ has expended every ounce of effort to provide for us eternal life. All you have to do is come and drink. The water's in Christ. All you have to do is put on the garment of salvation. The garment is complete. All you have to do is come to him. He stands at the door and knocks. All you have to do is open the door. All you have to do is repent. Change your mind about who you are. Change your mind about who Jesus is. And believe. Depend on Jesus Christ to save you, that his work on the cross was sufficient, all sufficient, more than sufficient to save you and all who believe in him. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. What is Paul saying in Romans 4 in verse 4? He says, if you think you can work your way to heaven, then eternal life is not by grace. But if you think you can do this and do that, if you can go to church enough times, if you could get baptized, you can do, you know, like the Roman Catholic Church has sacraments. And basically in the Catholic system, if you keep those sacraments, they give you the sense, if you just do these things, you take the Eucharist and put the Eucharist in your mouth and you go to the priest and you confess your sins and you do those sacraments, then you deserve eternal life. But that's a lie. Because then it would be like God owes you something. How could God be a debtor to me? How could God be a debtor? How could he be in debt to you? Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So are we saved by grace, or are we saved by our works? Which is it? You can't mix the two. You cannot mix grace and works. In other words, if you add one work to grace, it's no longer grace. And if you add grace to work, it's no longer grace. Grace and works are mutually exclusive.
Now to him that worketh, if you think you can work your way to heaven, the reward, that is eternal life, is not given to you on the basis of God's grace, but it's on the basis of you think he owes you, but of debt. Does that make sense? But to him that worketh not, now we're talking, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there's no work I can do that would cause God to save me. The work has been done. Jesus said it this way. They said, well, what work do you want us to do then? Because, you know, this is the default mode of the sinful human heart. Well, I want to do something. I'll feel better if I just do something, you know. But Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, if any man, I'm sorry now, I can't find the verse, but he says that this is the work of God, that you believe on him. That's it. That you would just believe. That's all you have to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, dear friends. That's what God requires, faith. But believes on him that justifies the ungodly. Now, once you're truly saved by grace through faith, and you have a faith in Christ, and now you're counted righteous in his sight, you will want to have a heart to follow him. We'll talk about that now. Let's move forward. The gift of eternal life, the gift of eternal security, they will never perish. Once you have eternal life, you will never perish. That is, you are secure. That's the gift of security. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, 1 Peter 1:5. The gift and calling of God are without repentance. That is, I believe there his salvation and election of the people of God is without repentance. Once God saves us, he's not going to take that salvation away. He's not an Indian giver, as we used to say when we were kids. You know, no, don't be an Indian giver. Don't give something and then take it back. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But now here's the question. Because I've been saved. Now, because I've been saved and I have this eternal security, does my eternal security encourage sinfulness or does it encourage holiness? What do you think? 1-800-345-9622. Does being secure in Jesus Christ, once a person is saved and they have the understanding and the faith to be able to say, I'll never be lost, I'm safe in the hands of Jesus. I'm safe in the mighty hand of Jesus. I'm safe in the mighty hand of my Father. Does that eternal security encourage sinfulness or holiness? Well, I want to play a song here. And as I go to this song, it's I Love to Tell the Story. And I dedicate this to fathers on this Father's Day. If you have a question or if you'd like to discuss this question, does eternal security encourage sinfulness or holiness? Why or why not? You get to us at 1-800-345-9622. And I love to tell the story because of what Jesus has done for us. 1-800-345-9622.
praise the Lord, and I trust that you love to tell that story of Jesus Christ and his mighty love for you. Okay, let's take a call here. We're going to go to line one. Is that Aaliyah there? Hello, welcome to the Heritage of Faith. Wilfred? I'm trying here. Okay, let me go. I'm going to put you back on. Let me go to that line. Hello? Is Wilfred or Aaliyah?
Hi.
Oh, hey, Aaliyah. How you doing, sweetheart? You got to turn your phone down, though. Or, yeah, turn the radio down, okay?
I don't have on the radio.
Oh, well, I just hear it in the background. Maybe your mom has it on. Okay.
We don't. Let me turn it on.
Oh, you okay? All right. How you doing tonight, sweetheart?
I'm on speakerphone.
Aaliyah?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing beautiful today by the grace of God. It's Father's Day. It's always a nice day for a father, and I love my children, so I was able to talk to some of them today. I talked to my dad too. My dad is living in South Carolina, so I talked to my dad. So having a good day.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say that happy Father's Day, because you have been giving great advice to people who be listening on the radio and for me. And I just wanted to say thank you, and that I really thank you for it.
Wow. Well.
And I wanted to say that I believe you are a great dad because you could give so much advice to your children.
Well, thank you, Aaliyah. You are so sweet. And I look forward to one day meeting you and your mom. And I really appreciate you. Don't know how much we appreciate you listening to our program regularly. Okay? And God bless you. I got your email, by the way. I'll respond to you this week, okay? I did get an email from you. That was so nice that you sent me an email.
Okay.
Okay.
And I was hoping you could pray for my dad because he's not walking with God yet.
Okay. All right. We're going to pray for your dad, Aaliyah, all right? And we're going to pray for dads out there just like your dad, many who really need to come and follow Jesus and hear his voice, okay? Let's pray for your dad. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for Aaliyah and her faith and her mom and the love they have for you. And we do pray for Aaliyah's dad, Lord Jesus. Dear God, that you would touch his heart and draw him to you, Lord. And we pray that you would use Aaliyah's testimony and witness and Aaliyah's mom's witness and love that they have for you. And may they see Jesus in them. May Aaliyah's dad see you, Lord Jesus, working in Aaliyah in such a way, and that he will desire to follow you as well, dear God. May he hear your voice. May he follow you. And then, Lord, I want to pray for my wife's brother, who is also a father on this Father's Day, who is getting very close to death because of cancer. We pray you will touch him, comfort him, and even do a miracle of healing in his life, by the power of your word and by the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, Leah. Yeah, and I just pray for my wife's brother, Scott. He's very, very sick with cancer. And so pray for him, please, okay?
Okay, I will.
Okay, thank you, Leah. Thank you for calling tonight. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye.
Oh, okay, bye-bye. Now, is Wilfred on line one over there, Wilfred?
Yes, yes.
Oh, there you are, brother. How you doing? What's up?
Wonderful. I heard you speaking about one save, always save. My question to you is, if you look at Judas Iscariot, he had all the characteristics of that shepherd, of that sheep you're talking about. I'm suggesting to you that, and then, if Jesus Christ grant him grace, then Judas Iscariot should be saved.
Yeah, but he wasn't saved.
How do you know that?
Because he's called in the scripture the son of perdition. He was never truly saved. His heart was never regenerated. He went along. I mean, that we see this as well in our day and age, and in every church and in every generation. There are people who give apparent appearances of salvation, but their heart is
selfish, like Judas, and he was never saved. There's no indication. The Bible does not tell us that Judas was saved. I don't believe. He's the son. It says son of perdition. He's called, right?
Yes.
So.
But like I said, like you said earlier, you quote a scripture that says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And Judas did follow Christ for quite some time until he betrayed him. So therefore, I believe that if
but First John, well, what about, okay, I understand that there's some tensions here, Wilford, and I realize that. But First John chapter 2, verse 19, describes a false prophet, a antichrist, a deceiver. Those are the three terms John uses throughout his epistle of 1 John to describe this leaven that was coming into the church. And he says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. So what I would say is, like Judas, he continued for a period of time, but he went out only to show what he really was. I don't say that people can't put on an act and make it look like they're saved, but they go out to show that they were not of us. It says that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They actually show themselves who they truly are in the end.
Okay.
So a true sheep will follow him and continue to follow him.
I got you, Pastor.
Yeah, that's, you know, of course, the most difficult, maybe one of the most difficult passages of the New Testament is Hebrews 6 that many would often use to say that you can lose your salvation. But I would say the same thing of that passage, that it's describing a Judas kind of person, someone who was never saved, even though the language in Hebrews 6, it talks about they tasted the heavenly gift. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They even tasted the Word of God and the power of the world to come. I think that that describes Judas. But in that language that I just said, you know, it never says they were saved or regenerated or indwelled or sealed or anointed by the Holy Spirit. It uses different terminology, but not the normal terminology that really relates to a believer. So, okay, Wilford, well, thank you. I appreciate you calling, man.
Thank you, man.
Okay. 1-800-345-9622. Well, if a person is saved and can never then be lost, does that mean he can do what he likes? Of course not. The one who is truly saved by the grace of God has such a great heart of love and debt of gratitude to the Father, he wants to follow him and follow him throughout his life. The true believer will know that his body is the temple of God's Spirit, no longer his own. And the Holy Spirit, we know when we're saved. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He teaches us. He anoints us. We have a power we did not have previously. And when we're truly saved, obedience is the cry of our heart. We want to obey the Lord. We want to be holy. We did not want to be holy before we were saved. That's the very thing we did not want. But now the Holy Spirit leads us to walk in holiness and to do His will and not our own. As it says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it says in Galatians chapter 5, as we do that, we cannot do the things that we would. So when we're saved, what happens? What happens? The moment you're saved, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit comes into your heart. He regenerates you. That means He gives life to your dead spirit. Your dead spirit is now alive. The old man is dead and the new man is alive. Now you still fight against the flesh, and the flesh operates and tries to bring about that indwelling sin. You still have indwelling sin and the flesh, but the old man is dead and now you're a new man. You're a new man in Christ. And the new you is the real you. You should write that down somewhere. The new you, that new man that has been given life by the Holy Spirit, is the real you. And that new you, that real you, wants to follow Jesus, love Jesus, obey Jesus. And I believe that this doctrine of eternal security, knowing that we're truly His, encourages greater love and dedication to God, not less. The teaching of eternal security does not make us free to sin, but it gives us peace and confidence that we're His, to give me power to keep me from sinning. Eternal security helps me keep from sin. Let me ask you this. Is it healthy for a child to know that he is unconditionally loved by his parents and that his parents are truly his or her parents and that they will not be kicked out of their family or out of their home if they do something wrong? Is that healthy for a child to know that he's so loved by his parents that way? I would say absolutely. A child is far better adjusted having the security of a family that will always be there for him, right? Doesn't it do well for a child to know who his parents definitely are? Doesn't it do well for a child to have the security of a mother and a father's love? Absolutely. And doesn't that encourage greater love and obedience in the heart of that child? Yes. So God will not throw his true child out into the street. And you can know you're his child. And just as a child's sense of security and unconditional love encourages better behavior in that child, not worse, so will our assurance of salvation, when rightly understood, encourage greater godliness and not less. But what happens when we sin? When we sin, do we lose our salvation? Absolutely not. A Christian can sin, but he hates himself for it. He grieves over it. He's chastened of the Lord for it. He's not at peace with sin. A true believer will not live in sin, John tells us. 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. John is not saying that a Christian never sins, but that a Christian does not live the continuous practice of sin. The seed or life principle that abides in the believer is the Holy Spirit. And sin is contrary to the new nature of a believer. And if a person can sin and remain happy and be at peace in it, he's not a Christian. If a so-called Christian sins and he's not chastened of the Lord, he's not a true Christian. When a Christian sins, his fellowship with the Lord, not his relationship, his fellowship is severed, but not his relationship. He confesses his sin, that fellowship is restored, he's cleansed from all unrighteousness. And thank God, we can know we're in the mighty hands of Jesus. Thank God we're in the mighty hands of Jesus. God's hands are majestic hands. God's hands are mighty hands, dear friends. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 10. He said, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That word pluck is not a casual word. It is a very violent word, for we are in the fight for our soul. And the devil does want to pluck us out of his hands. But thank God, the hands of Jesus are majestic and powerful and immense. His hands have spread out the heavens, their mighty hands. His hands have shattered the enemy, their mighty hands. But the fierce attacks of Satan are met with powerful hands. And our security is founded not on us, but on His faithfulness. And nothing can harpoon us from His hands. We're safe in Jesus. Good night.
Thank you for tuning into The Heritage of Faith. We would be so honored to have you as a guest at our church. Sunday services are at 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Again, that's 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Bible study hour begins at 10 and Sunday morning fellowship services begins at 11. For more information, or if you need help with prayer or encouragement, you may call us at 212-947-5316. That's 212-947-5316. You can also write to us at Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 7925, New York, New York, 10116. You may also visit us on the web at www.hbcnyc.org. That's www.hbcnyc.org. Join us again next week at 8:30 p.m. for the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church. Until then, rejoice in the Lord.